The best thing of all is establish relationships when you don't need the money. If they start to know you and they start to know the project, when you don't need the money, when you need the money, you can then knock the door.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder, he was a businessman, and I never got to learn how, and it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now, like, this whole world is startup and tech crazy, and I just want to know how to code too. Hack Reactor makes coding professionally go from being a dream and something that you just desire to have to really being a legitimate programmer. You could get a job straight away after. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take your steps that much further, you got to check out Hack Reactor. Hack Reactor is the trusted environment, academic level education to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Barcelona, Spain. How exciting. And I'm getting connected to the most extraordinary women in tech. And first up, we have Helena. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I love how you're just as fashionable as I am.
I'm sorry. Okay, Matt, I'm repeating that.
No, I love it.
Hi, it's free. How are you?
Oh my God, I love you already.
I know. I'm so glad to be here.
I know. I'm so glad you're here. Like, you're awesome. Okay, wait, so go ahead, introduce yourself formally for everybody and tell us, like, about you're a managing partner and a co-founder. So tell us about both your companies.
Okay, so I'm Elena Torres. Now I'm co-founder at BeWom. It's a startup for women intimate health, and I will explain you more.
Yeah.
And I'm also managing partner at Pau Capital. So before to explain it, you know, the company where I am and what I'm developing, maybe it's good to know where I come from. I've been in the startup world since 2007.
Wow.
And the funny thing is I started as a small investor.
Yeah.
In two young boys with my husband and some other friends. Yeah. They had a PowerPoint and good ideas, so we invested, and the weekends we spent with them.
How cool. Oh, was this in Barcelona?
Yes.
Okay.
What is the strategy we are going to do? And we were thinking, it was a cloud computing company, and at that moment was like cloud computing, grid computing, what's going to be? And we were deciding, and in 2007, we invested, we were the weekends talking about what's going to be, cloud computing, grid computing. They left their jobs. They started to be full-time at the company. We raised some more money from banking in right. Spain. At that moment, was quite easy. It was 2007.
Yeah.
So they could hire more people to work in the company.
Right.
And at the end of 2008, a competitor was acquired for $60 million.
What?
Yeah.
No. Wait, how did you even... what was that company that you invested in?
Abiquo.
Like, what did they do?
It's still alive. It's a cloud computing software.
How do you just go from not being an investor to being an investor?
Because my husband was in the sector. He was working
for
ABC.
So he understood investment.
Yes.
Okay. Someone understood.
Yes,
what
someone
it is
understood. And the friends also were in this. So yeah. I was there too because I wanted, you know, to know more. And he was the one who was in the entrepreneur ecosystem. So, yeah.
And then what was it? Why were they acquired but you guys weren't acquired?
The competitors were acquired for 60 million, and they had no customers.
No, I mean, but why were they the ones that got acquired? Like, what
they were in Belgium, and later we found that the CEO had already built two companies and sold to the same acquirer.
Oh, so you had the relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the moral of the story is relationships are what matters.
And also reputation, what you have done in the past. It's stressful.
Yeah.
And here we were all young. It was our first investment. They were our first company as entrepreneurs. But it was good. So I, at the end of 2008, I quit my job.
Yeah.
I was a CEO in a service service medical company at home, 24/7, and I dedicated full time to Abiquo to raise money.
Yeah.
So it was January 2009, For those who don't know, in January 2009, Spain was at full crisis.
Yeah.
It was, everyone was scared. No right. one was putting money anywhere. There right. was no money.
Right.
So it took us 1 year. And in January 2010, we raised 1.5 million euros.
Give me five.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And in April, 1 million more.
Yeah.
In May, my first baby was born.
What?
And in November, 7 million more.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait. Hold on. Did you, first of all, I wish you guys could see Elena right now. She is like the most spirited, bubbly, like you're just like sunshine everywhere.
Yeah, that's so, so nice.
I feel like you're a pack of bubblegum with your like favorite flavor or something.
Oh, you know? Oh my God. That's the nicest thing I had someone tell me.
First of all, it's something that's talked about a lot, at least in the States, is raising money as a woman being pregnant. So did you have any resistance here, or was it a more welcoming environment?
I have to say that I was worrying so anyone could notice I was.
So no one could notice. Yeah.
No, I was fat, but no one noticed.
And no one's going to be like, hey,
that was
fat.
For the first round,
yeah.
The 1.5 million. But I have to say, because I didn't know how this woman thing work in the startup. I mean, I had not had any bad feeling
right.
from anyone,
right.
but I didn't know how it worked. And the company was first, so right. I didn't wanted to put in risk
right,
that.
Right.
So I told them after the signature that I was pregnant, in case they didn't realize, which they didn't. And that day they made me member of the board. So,
no way.
Yeah. So it's just the contrary. It's not a problem. We believe in you. We don't care if you are pregnant or not.
That's so nice. I mean, I think so many people listening right now would love to understand maybe some tips on how to raise money. You make it sound like it was just so fluid for you, but I know it's a very difficult journey.
No, it's hard. Maybe I will explain you, but I will explain you after
okay.
telling the end of the story,
yes,
because
please.
Now I'm in the another company and we just raise money as well.
You make it sound so easy. Okay, okay.
No, it's
continue,
not so
continue,
easy,
yeah.
but yeah, there are some tips.
Yeah.
So at the end, there was another CEO hired. At that moment, I was interim CEO because I knew I was pregnant and I didn't want to go on, and we hired an international CEO when the round was closed. We closed this 7 million plus 1.5 plus one right. that year. And the company has raised 28 million so far. The company is alive. I left the company 1 year ago.
Crazy.
But
that's not that long ago. Wait,
no.
You got involved in the company in 2007 and
yeah.
you just left a year ago.
Yeah, in 2016.
It's a long time.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I did a lot of things.
Yeah.
At the same time, I was in the company. So one of the co-founders
yeah.
left
yeah.
in 2010.
Yeah.
He built another company in 2011,
mm-hmm.
where I invested since the day zero. And I was a member of the board for some time. And
yeah.
It was sold in 2014 to New Relic.
Give me five.
Yeah.
I have so many questions, but I don't want to interrupt. Continue
okay.
going. Yeah.
So after that, I also started being mentor in Wira. It's a Telefonica accelerator and a startup bootcamp and Menorca Millennials
yeah.
and two or three more in Barcelona. And I started enjoying so much this
yeah.
sharing experience because, I mean, all what I have lived in Abiquo and also in Daxbor, that was the company that was so, it was something I wanted to share to entrepreneurs.
Right.
So they could not fail in the same things we did, and some these tips that we were just learning, and it was, I started to mentorize, and I found that I was learning more than giving.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
it was very funny. So, and when you are mentorizing, you start to be in the ecosystem, and when you are in the ecosystem, you start to find so interesting projects
yeah.
and so interesting people.
Yeah.
And then you fall in love with them.
Totally.
And so I ended investing in some of them, and now I have nine investments, and about to close the 10th.
What?
And 1 year, in 2015,
yeah.
I met this amazing girl that's called Veronica, and she had an idea to build a pelvic floor app.
Yeah.
So I fall in love also with her, but at that time, I also fall so much in love with the project that I wanted to be involved.
Tell me more about the project.
It's a woman's intimate health. So the idea is to change the self-care for women.
Yeah.
It's to prevent. So women, we are so complex.
Yeah.
But we are complex our bodies, our emotions, our minds.
Tell me about my emotions. Sometimes I wish I could just turn them off.
And the thing is, we know our bodies is going to have changes through our lives.
Yeah.
And we don't prepare for that.
Right.
And when we find it, it's like, oh, that's normal. It's common. And we don't share with our friends because we're embarrassed. We're embarrassed.
Yeah.
So we want to go there. We want to say to the people, this thing, it's common. It's not normal, because if you prevent it, you won't have this problem.
For
instance, urine leaks, having pain on sex, or things, or we want to prevent, for instance, that, you know, at certain age, you have to start every month to check your breast so you don't have breast cancer. And there are
We just interviewed a woman named Pauline who's creating an app around menopause, because menopause is something that's not talked about often.
That's true. Yeah.
And she says there needs to be more, like, everybody's ashamed to talk about it, et cetera, so forth. And so she's creating it. So a lot of, like, topics related to feminine health,
correct.
It seems nobody wants to discuss them.
No, everybody's focusing on menstruation and fertility.
Yeah.
But
so much focus on fertility.
Yeah, we have so many things more.
Yeah.
And it's that if we prevent it, I've discovered, thanks to this project, that just doing 10-minute exercises, that sometimes I do it in the bus.
Yeah.
It's enough to don't have urine leaks, no constipation.
No. Like what? Tell us
increase
what it is.
Sex pleasure. Really.
What's the exercise?
Yeah. Or you have to download the app. BWOM. Go down.
Okay. And you guys, and obviously we'll include the app in the show notes so you could explore further. Amazing.
So I discovered that. So I joined the project with her as a co-founder. We founded it in April 2015. In May 2015, 11 women invested in the company.
What? Amazing. Wait, just actually 1 second. So her company was one of your portfolio companies, and then you became a co-founder.
No, it was not yet. So I met her. It was not, the company didn't exist yet.
Oh, okay.
So she had an MVP, but she had not incorporated.
So you immediately became a co-founder.
Yeah. And so I met her and I became a co-founder with her. And we decided to go not for only for pelvic floor, but for changing the self-care in general for intimate health, for this taboo.
Right, right.
So, So, on May, 11 women invested. It was a small investment, but the thing is, it was 11 women, no men. And we wanted that woman can invest in projects.
Yeah.
And then we started to launch the product. We launched it in October 2015.
Yeah.
And now in 2016, we raised $1 million.
Amazing.
For going and changing the self-care for women around the world.
Amazing.
We have almost 200,000 users around the world. And we're there.
I have so many questions.
Go on.
Like, one question is, so I tell this story sometimes. I don't know if I've said it on the show before, you guys, so sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I was sitting on the grass with Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook a while ago, and he was saying how he's going to take out MySpace. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, you're not going to take out MySpace. They're huge.
Yeah.
And obviously, everybody knows what happens in the future. And there were moments like that in my life where I'm like, you know, I'd be a pretty shitty investor because, like, obviously I can't predict the future. So how is it that, what are some of the things you look for when you're making investment? How have you made such savvy investments? What is it about those particular companies that you're so confident?
But not all work.
Yeah.
Some have already closed.
Yeah.
So the first thing, it's the team.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sometimes it also fails.
Yeah.
The idea, for me, it has to be fully scalable, global. I mean, also I have some things that is like, I don't like e-commerce. I like new ideas, disruption, something that it's thought different.
Right, right.
Not copycats. And if it's a copycat, it has to have something different, or really you are going to a market that it's unexplored.
Yeah.
So, and also I like the projects when they don't have metrics, that they are just beginning, but that, because also that's what can I afford.
That's very unique.
No, but that's what I can afford as investor.
Yeah.
I cannot enter when they have 2 million revenue because I don't have so much money.
Interesting. So did you make a choice with your family then to put money aside specifically for investing?
The thing is, we don't have a spare money, but yes, my husband and me together, we decided to to decide together where to invest, but it's not a spur money. So yeah, we take it out from
our hustling.
Normal.
Yeah. You're like, it's like instead of buying coffee, you're buying a startup.
Yes, because we believe on that. And we think there is no better way to put the money than in someone that it's going to put their soul to make it work.
So cool. And then out of your portfolio company, so far you've invested in 11, you said?
No, in 9, and now we're closing the 10th.
And out of the 10, which ones have done the best?
Okay, the best one, the one was Salt.
Yeah, of course.
And then we have another one that's Marfil, that it's going great. They are changing the way you interact with the mobile phone and laptops. Which one? Oh, we have a young one that it's in the esports.
You
know, electronic sports. It's a new trend. Yeah. It's called eStreams.
Yeah.
And it's the momentum because it's new, and we are going to join this momentum, and they are doing great. And they are innovating because they want to bring what it's in the sports, in the normal sports, soccer, and this, to the esports, so gambling without money.
I mean, this is, I'm sure you guys are just as, you know, eager as I am to check out like all of your portfolio companies. So definitely be sure to send me the link, and we'll include all your companies in the show notes so you guys can explore it and get to know
how
to choose companies. and then as an investor, I mean, as someone who's raised money, like, I mean, I guess you have like an upper hand because you invest, it gives you kind of like a way of thinking that you, when you want to communicate to an investor to raise money, you know what they're looking for, right? And so share with us, because again, you've made it sound so fluid, yet I know that it's one of the most difficult things to do. So how do you make that path just a little bit easier?
Okay. It's not easy. You have to knock a lot of doors and you have to get a lot of no's. And it has happened to me in all the process. It doesn't mean that you don't get to the end and you get what you are looking for, but be ready for that. And it doesn't mean that it's not a good project or you are not good. It has nothing to do. Each one has an investment thesis. So first thing, know to who are you talking about. I think the first problem is you have to personalize. And some entrepreneurs just don't personalize. Send the same email to everyone and someone is going to knock, or it's the same pitch. So that's a mistake. You have to know to who you are talking. Especially, and that's the trick I've learned, it's if you are raising money in seed, pre-seed or seed, when you don't have such amount of revenues.
Right.
When they have to believe in you. So it's something about the people. And they will take a decision on how they feel, on how they believe, on what your deck looks like.
Yeah.
So you have to demonstrate that you are trustful, that you are the only person that is going, person or team, is going to be able to put them to make it happen.
Yeah, to execute
on make
it
big.
Idea. Yeah.
So that's the first thing. So understand what they are looking for. Try a human relationship. Also, look what is their investment thesis. I mean, if they invest in e-commerce and you go with fintech, they are going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal.
Yeah.
It's not because of you. It doesn't fit.
Yeah, right.
Understand what they are looking for. If it's the time also, because sometimes they invest more in pre-seed, in seed. So the best thing of all is establish relationships when you don't need the money. If they start to know you and they start to know the project, when you don't need the money, when you need the money, you can then knock the door.
Yeah.
Say, now it's time. I'm looking. Then they will have seen the evolution. So you will have generated trust because you will have accomplished your goals.
Right.
So it's easier at that moment. Because if I always say that looking for funding, it's like dating.
Mm-hmm.
If you are looking for a partner, you don't make a speed dating sit 15 minutes, 30 minutes in a table, say, well, I'm here, blah, 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 blah. And then, okay, are you going to marry me?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You date, you start to know each other, and then if you like each other, then you reach an agreement that it's to marry or to go to live together.
Totally.
So it's exactly the same because we are talking about human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in this pre-seed stage, because You don't have the metrics to prove that the business is going on.
Right, right. I think it's just everything you've shared is just like ridiculously inspiring. Oh. Like I don't, it's not normal. I think it's unusual because you literally entered a world that you had no like frame of reference on. Like, and you just like dived in and you dive in over and over and over again every time you passionately find a company that you feel connected to.
Yeah, because the entrepreneur world, it's passion.
Yeah, but I just don't think people like that's so inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
It's so cool.
You say so nice things.
No, because like, you know, it's like, I get to sit with you here in person and feel your energy and I can understand what the other founders and investors see in you because you have that. What is it? Je ne sais quoi? I think that's the term. I'm not sure. It's like, it's just that this charismatic injection of passion.
I think I'm getting red.
Can't get that red. It's raining outside. What would you say is the thing that you've learned about yourself in achieving your dreams? How can people achieve their dreams?
Okay, what I've learned? I've learned so many things. So the first thing is believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Believe in your dreams. And if something doesn't leave you sleep,
yeah,
go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, follow your passion.
Totally.
If you wake up every day loving what you do, it will go. And if it doesn't go, doesn't worry. It doesn't matter. You'll learn during the process and you will have something that will let you to another dream that will be successful. So there's no, I would say, how you say, tiempo perdido?
Tiempo perdido.
Lost time.
There's no lost time.
There is no lost time. You always learn something that it's useful for your next step.
So you don't believe in the tragedy of failure?
No, no. I mean, I failed so much, so much. But I would not be today here if I had not failed. Because what I learned there helped me to make something better next time.
Yeah.
So at all, of course, it's not a good moment when you fail and you're sad or whatever.
Yeah.
But you are not the person who, at that moment, if you don't have the experience, the good moments and the bad moments. I always think that when something goes good, it's hard work, of course, but there's always something about luck. When something goes bad, it doesn't mean there is hard work.
Yeah.
You can have hard work or not.
Yeah.
Can be bad luck or not.
Yeah.
But you will know why you fail.
That's so true. So. And how do you overcome challenges?
My life is a challenge. I don't think I would have a life if I had not challenged. So I have to have constantly challenge, and it's easy to overcome in the sense that it's there.
Yeah.
Go for it. And when you see there's no way to go for it, go for another one.
Yeah, definitely. So. It's funny. I was just posting to my Facebook about my trip and lessons I've learned, and someone shared, man, I wish I could do what you're doing. I said, you can. It's a choice. It wasn't easy for me to get up and leave Los Angeles and start traveling around, meeting people. And even today, like I'm, you know, scared. Am I making the right decision and all this stuff? But it's just a constant choice that I'm making. And then you make other choices. Like you said, you and your husband put your money instead of spending, so to speak, like a coffee and you put it in a startup, like, you know, instead of me I having a car or something, you know,
correct.
Like I have that money to use elsewhere. And so it's a choice.
Yeah.
All of life is a choice. Every day we make different choices. And in the entrepreneurial world, like the risks that we take, we're not superhuman. We're just making choices.
Correct. But everyone makes choices. It's true that entrepreneurs feel obliged to make choices every minute, because the speed of the life there, it's faster, but everyone makes choices. So it doesn't matter if you fail.
Totally.
You just take another street
and totally.
You follow your path.
Totally. And we're not saying it isn't like the shittiest feeling on the planet to like feel like you failed or did something wrong or like some strategy didn't go as you wanted it to go. It's just it's a learning opportunity.
Correct.
Yeah.
And nowadays, failure, it's not so bad seen as before.
Yeah. So, well, maybe not in Spain or in America, but like in other countries around the world, like in Slovakia or, you know, like it's not as accepted to fail.
No, in Spain, it's not as accepted to fail as in US.
Yeah.
But in the entrepreneur ecosystem, it's starting to be accepted.
Oh, I think
it's a
process. Yeah.
So nowadays, we are changing this mindset.
Totally. It is definitely part of the movement.
In Slovakia, it will come. 5 years ago, failing in Spain, it was very bad seen. Now, you can say, I'm looking for a project. I'm just wondering what I'm going to do. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
I fail that. I'm starting another thing. And it doesn't matter now in the ecosystem.
Totally.
Not in the corporate world, but...
Totally. And how can people connect with you?
Through LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
What are all your handles? Share them. And you guys will also include them in the show notes, obviously.
At H Torras is H-T-O-R-R-A-S. That's Twitter, Instagram. Facebook, it's Elena Torras, so my name, H-E-L-E-N-A, Torras is T-O-R-R-A-S. LinkedIn, the same. So any of those.
Perfect. You've been amazing. I feel so blessed that we were able to have this conversation. And I feel so blessed that you guys are able to experience Elena with me. If you want to connect with more incredible women in tech, go to the Women in Tech Facebook group. You just go to womenintechvip.com. Thanks to my friend Walt, who suggested I do that. Then that URL just forwards to the Facebook group to make it super easy. And of course, always feel free to tweet me at Women in Tech Show or at Esprit Devora. Have a great day. Bye, guys.
Thank you very much. Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.